Welcome into the latest installment of the Golf Channel Podcast. I'm your host, Will Gray. Please be joined by Mitch Grassing, runner-up this year at the Volvic World Long Drive Championship. Mitch, how you doing? Thanks for stopping by.
I'm really hot right now. I'm not used to this kind of weather. It's getting kind of cold back home.
I was going to say, we were going to get to that, but let's get right to it. Right. North of the border, so it's a little different down here. Even though this is officially the first cold front of the year for Florida.
We're
approaching quarter zip season, which is a big deal in Central Florida. Anytime it gets below about 75, so you may be hot, but this is about as good as it's been for us in about 6 months.
Yeah, this is about as hot as it gets back home during the summer. But I mean, it's been almost the whole summer down here working with my coach Bobby, so I'm kind of used to the heat over North Carolina.
How different has it been for you? I guess let's go on a little backstory here. You're 22, correct?
Yep.
And you start the year with basically no status on the World Long Drive circuit, and you manage to pick yourself up by the bootstraps, and here you are, ranked number 7 in the world. So it's been quite a year, but what's it been like for you trying to just keep up with everything?
Well, at the start of the year, me and my coach, Bobby Peterson, set a goal to get inside the top 20 in the world. And, I mean, at the time I was unranked, so it was tough to get in events because I had no points in the top 50, or the only ones that are eligible to sign up. So I went out to the WinStar and won my first qualifier. So that got me a few points. Then we went straight out to the Tennessee Shootout, which was an open event, so anybody could sign up for that. And I finished second to Maurice Allen there. And then the next week, I finished second to Justin James by 1 yard. So, I mean, I'm ready to beat him next year. He's got me twice this year. So, I mean, 3 runner-up finishes got me a ton of points this year, and I should be set now for the events for next year.
Was it hard at all during the season to try and recalibrate your goals once you started to get a little bit of status?
Yeah, I mean, my goals kind of changed, especially with my swing, because it's a long season, lots of hitting, you get tired pretty quick. So, I mean, at the start of the year, you know, we kind of looked for a ball speed kind of goal, and I was swinging around 217 ball speed at the start of the year, and then approaching World Championships, I was upwards of 225. So after I qualified and started doing well at the tournaments, we just kind of tried to get faster and faster going up the worlds. And as you saw on the World Long Drive Championship, I think I registered like a 157 on our club head speed. So it definitely paid off all the work we did at the One Stop Power Shop.
So how'd you get here? How'd you get into the crazy world of long drive?
Oh, man, it's a funny story because I was about 19 and my dad picked up a golf club for me. And we went out to my first qualifier. And the club was actually 2 inches too long. So we took a hacksaw and cut the butt of the club off. So I was sitting out there hitting in the qualifier and with like half a grip on my driver, and I still won it. And I was 19 then, went down to the World Championship there. I think I finished top 32 in the world. And that was the same year I met my coach. And ever since then, we've just been working to get faster. And I mean, last year I didn't compete, so I went down and saw him at the start of this year. And we just put in a lot of work and it got a lot more speed.
Did you play golf growing up as a kid?
Yeah, I mean, I started around 10 years old. My dad, obviously, like most kids that get into golf, dad pushed them towards playing. So I started around 10, and I play a lot of junior golf at Whistlebear Golf Club. That's my home golf course in Ontario.
Is it a rule in Canada that every golf course has to have the word bear in it somewhere?
Honestly, I've seen like one bear in my life. So.
Really?
Yeah, I've actually never seen a moose. So that's what I always get trouble for from everybody.
There you go.
I mean, moose do you see? Not actually. I started at 10. I played junior golf up until I was about 19. I played for my university team for 1 year, and then I started doing long drive, and I stopped playing in amateur golf because I was considered professional because I was winning some money. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where my actual playing career ended and my long drive career started. But it's been working out a lot better, paying off better too, so I'm sticking with this for now.
So, I mean, do you play golf regularly? Do you focus mostly just on the long drive right now?
I play when I can, but it's tough on the body. I mean, you got all these events and you're practicing. So I've only played a handful of rounds this year. Most of the time, just going to training for long drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And are you still balancing school stuff with this, or are you long drive full time?
Well, I got one more year of school. I'm done in April. Got a couple classes left, so I got back into that after the World Long Drive Championship. So when I'm done that in April, I'm planning on just doing this full time for the summer. Getting every event I can, hopefully win a couple.
Have you had any luck with passing off your long drive status in lieu of taking a final or putting in a paper or anything like that?
I'd like to get there. I actually got somebody who contacted me. He wanted to write an essay about long drive and the professional long drive. So he asked me some questions.
There you go.
But no, I haven't written anything about it.
So how difficult is it being up in Canada? I know you said you practice some now and train in North Carolina, but is it tough with the winter months and with the conditions to try and keep your game at tip-top shape?
It's tough in the summer, too. I mean, just finding a spot to hit. The ranges just don't accommodate long drivers. But I was lucky enough to find two guys up in Canada. Their names are Greg Foley and Joe Dubinsky. They run an indoor golf school, and they let me hit in their simulators last year all winter long. So that really helped out my swing, because I was actually able to swing throughout the winter months in Canada. Mm-hmm. And I planned on doing the same thing this year, just so I can go straight into next season just ready to go.
What's the balance for you in terms of doing training in the gym versus working on the fine-tuning aspects of your swing?
It's tough. This summer I spent a lot more time just working on my swing, because last year I put on a lot of weight and strength from doing powerlifting. So I spend a lot of time just fine-tuning my swing with my coach. But when I can, I try and get in the gym to maintain some strength. But at the same time, you don't want to be too sore for events, because if you got some sore tight muscles, your swing's just going right out the window. You got to be flexible and ready to swing fast.
So going back to the Volvic World Long Drive, what was that last night like for you, where you come in, you're in the quarterfinals, so there's eight guys left, and then in the span of an hour and a half, all of a sudden you're standing there playing for the belt. What was that like trying to go get yourself ready for a match and then take time off, hit the range, and then go back under the lights?
I mean, it all went by pretty fast. If I think about it now, it just happened. But it is tough, because you got to wait, you know, half an hour or so between your rounds. So what I would do is, I think after my first match against Wes, I went back, hit a few balls. It'd be a few balls every few minutes, just so I'm staying warm, because if you shut down, your body's going to get cold and you're not going to be able to swing. But me and Bobby actually practiced for this throughout the year. We'd actually run like a whole tournament at his facility, the One Stop Power Shop, and we'd play through all the points rounds and then through the match play rounds and everything like that. So we actually kind of had a good idea going into Worlds of how long we were going to have to wait and how my body reacts to staying warm. And we found that just a couple balls every few minutes would work for me. And that's what I did. And I mean, going into the finals, my body felt good. I was swinging good. I wasn't tired. But no, I just couldn't find a grid. Anyone is adjusting. I mean, I had a grudge out to beat him since he beat me earlier this year. But I'll get him next year. I promise you that.
a lot of guys would take your second place prize money for sure. So when you're warming up, let's say for the first match in the quarterfinals against Wes Patterson, are you, when you go to the range, what's your balance? Are you hitting, starting with wedges? Are you hitting seven irons? Are you working your way up to drivers? Or is it, there's some stretching involved? What's the key to getting yourself ready?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I warm up like you would for a round of golf. I start with the wedges, go through some short irons, long irons. And I have a bunch of different drivers. I have I have three shafts. Patterson makes a whole bunch of shafts. So I start out with a weaker one just to warm up. And as I feel my body start getting warm and start moving faster, I move up to my last shaft, which is the stiffest one I got. It's like a 4X. It's called a Patterson Velocity. And when I'm swinging fast and I'm hitting that thing good, I know the ball is going forever, because I was hitting it real good on the range.
How often do you break a shaft?
Broke one a couple days ago, actually. The ones we hit, Patterson makes probably the most durable shaft you'll find out there. We saw a lot of shafts break at Worlds.
Yeah.
But I think I've only ever seen two Patterson shafts break in my life.
Okay.
Like, they are just the most durable, like, longest-lasting shaft you'll find out there.
So what's your view on long drive as a whole? Do you view it as its own separate sport? Do you view it as an offshoot of golf? Where do you come down?
Well,
does it matter?
It's its own separate sport, but at the same time, it has a lot to offer to the golf world. Mm-hmm. People, I hear it all the time. I mean, lots of people would rather hit the ball far than make a birdie, right? Yeah. They like to show off. So there's a lot that your typical golfers can learn just by watching long drive, even participating in it. Just by practicing with my coach for a long drive, my golf swing has gotten so much better than even when I was playing golf every day. Mm-hmm. So not just looking for speed, but there's so many different things that go and hit a golf ball far that you can learn. And if you can really master that and learn how to control your ball flight, I mean, it's just going to help your overall golf game. So long drive is more than just about speed. It's all about accuracy. So
yeah.
For your typical golfer, if they really pay attention to what these guys are doing, they can definitely benefit their own game.
So I got to go back to the Canada thing. I know you're up from Ottawa. Is it possible to miss the Senators' run through the playoffs last year, and how involved were you with that? you gripped on game seven there as they missed by a goal?
I'm going to get a bad rap for this being stadium, but I honestly don't watch much hockey anymore.
Really?
No, I used
Hold on. You haven't seen a moose. You don't watch a lot of hockey. Are you sure you're actually Canadian?
You know, I spent a lot of time in the States this year, so it's tough to say. Some might call me dual citizen, you know, but you're talking about the Senators, though, but I definitely watched that. I mean, okay. When I found out they're going to be in the playoffs this year, I started paying attention, but...
That's good. You don't want to get called out.
No,
your hometown team's in the playoffs.
Had to fit in.
Yeah, you know. So I mean, what was that like growing up then? You just didn't get into the hockey, or you?
Oh no, I played a lot of hockey growing up, and as I started transitioning to long drive, I just kind of, I really just that's all I focus on now.
I
don't watch. I hate saying that because it makes me sound so bad as a Canadian, but I guess I do watch. I do watch a lot when. Like in Ottawa, it was crazy busy. I mean, everybody was just obsessed with the Senators here. So, I mean, those games, the downtown was packed, the streets were packed. So,
yeah,
it was hard to miss anything there.
Is it hard to explain to American fans how big the Maple Leafs are in Ontario?
It's like their own religion, really. I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs fans will run you over. they love their sports team there.
There you go. Well, you know, maybe you'll get back into it, but you got plenty of time. They're just starting the season now, so you can lay low for now. But around March, April, you might want to check the standings, see how things are going. All right. Well, if you started with these goals of this year, trying to get some status, get in the top 20, what are your goals now for 2018?
Number one.
Besides beating Justin James.
Number one in the world.
Yeah.
And the world championship. I'm sure I'm not the only
one. Tie a bow on it, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what we all want to win is the world championship. So, I mean, if you don't think you can win it and it's not your goal, then what are you competing for?
Yeah. And what are the keys for you swing-wise to try and maybe pick up an extra couple yards, extra couple miles an hour on the swing speed?
Consistency, really. Being able to maintain speeds in the 150 throughout the whole year, it takes a toll on your body. So, I think this winter I'm really just going to work on my swing and my body so I have more stamina throughout the year and I can hit the grid more often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking forward, maybe 3-5 years, whatever, what are your, I don't know about goals, but where would you like to see the sport of long drive moving forward in the future?
Honestly, I'd like to be like a household sport, you know. Everybody has it on their TV. People know the players fairly well. I mean, it's growing each year. I mean, this year was a great year for long drive with 3 televised events. Next year, it's supposed to be more, there's supposed to be more events. I mean, every year is just growing, so I think in the future we're going to see a lot more people paying attention to this.
There you go. Well, I appreciate you stopping by. Good luck with the Canadian winter. Maybe you'll see a moose. You never know. you can knock that off your bucket list here. But Mitch Grassing, runner-up this year at the Vologor Long Drive Championship. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the Golf Channel Podcast. Thanks for swinging by.
Thanks for having me.
I'm your host, Will Gray. Thanks for tuning in, and we will talk to you guys next time.